We pick up with the fourth and final chapter in Megillah, which starts at the very bottom of Daf Kaf Hay, the 25V. It says, the Mishnah says, it's really going to be talking about priorities with regard to holy things, and what you can do with, if something is on a higher level of holiness, what you can do. If something is on a lower level of holiness, you can upgrade it, but if it's on a higher level of holiness, then you wouldn't be able to do such a thing. Anyway, so as the Mishnah is going to give examples, if the people that live in a town sell the square in the town, and if we remember from Tanit, that square was often used at the times of when we had the last seven of the 13 fasts, they used to go out into the square and pray and beg for mercy in the square. So it's got a certain level of kedusha, of holiness. It says, if you sell that square, it says, lo kin biador beit haKnesset. You can't just use that for any mundane purpose. You have to buy, increase the holiness. You have to increase it and buy a shul. Similarly, Beit Knesset, if you sell a shul, look in Teva, you have to buy an ark. And an ark is obviously where you keep the Sefer Torah and other scrolls of, let's say, Nevi'im and Ketuvim. Teva, if you sold an ark, look in Mitpachot, you can sell cloths to wrap up the Sefer Torah, etc. Mitpachot, if you sell these cloths that wrap the Sefer Torah, it says, Yichu Sfarim, the only thing you can buy, you have to go up a level, and that is buying Sfarim. Sfarim in this case is not books how we would know them. Sfarim is these scrolls of Ketuvim, Nevi'im and Ketuvim, the prophets and the writings. And then Sfarim, if you sell Sfarim, the Nevi'im and Ketuvim, these scrolls, look in Torah, that is, you buy a Sefer Torah. And then it just goes in the opposite order. Aval, Imachru Torah, what happens if you end up selling a Sefer Torah, which is not so easy because you're not supposed to sell a Sefer Torah, as we'll see. Then it says, Lo, Yichu, Sfarim, you're not allowed to buy Sfarim, and it just gives the negative of everything that we've learned above. You're not allowed to buy just Nevi'im and Ketuvim scrolls, Sfarim. Lo yichu mitpachot, and if you sell the Sfarim, you can't buy wrappings. Mitpachot, if you sell the wrappings, lo yichu teva, you're not allowed to buy an ark. Teva, lo yichu beit Knesset. If you sell the ark, then you're not allowed to buy a shul, a beit Knesset, and a shul. If you sell a shul, look at Etzachov, you can't buy a town square. V'chein b'motzarot motzareihin, and so too. Finishes the Mishnah, so too with any extra money that you have left over. For example, if you sell something and you buy something new, even though it's a greater level of holiness, even the leftover money that is subject to the same degree of stringency over here. In other words, you have to increase its level of holiness. All right, and it has to buy something more than it. Okay, so that was the Mishnah. The Gemara picks up. The people of the town who sell the town square. It says, Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He's in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Zudivrei, Rabbi Menachem ben Yossi Simta Sutumta. This is Rabbi Menachem ben Yossi, it's really unattributed over there. Aval Chachamim Rim, the rabbi say, Harochov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. No, the road, the city square, does not have any holiness. It's only used on an occasional basis, and really that's it. It doesn't imbue it with holiness. As well, and that would really be the same thing. For example, if you have a house where sometimes you have a minyan, occasional minyan, etc., Friday night or whatever the case is, doesn't give the house a degree of holiness as well. All right, and it says Menachem Bar Yossi, my timer. What is Menachem Bar Yossi? Why does he say that it does have holiness? Well, v'am mitpalimbo b'taniot v'mamadot. As we said, because people pray in it on the days of these fast days, last seven of the 13, and also the mamadot as well. It says on the mamadot. Right. So there is some discussion about this last phrase, because the mamadot actually would go into a shul and not into the town square. Although some people say that sometimes if there were too many people, they would kind of spill out into the town square. Okay, so that's it. But definitely on Taniot, it's got a level of holiness. Okay, Rabbanan, what do the rabbis say? No, I cry. As we said, the fact that you use it occasionally doesn't mean that it's not fixed. It's just tangential to its thing. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. Basically, you're looking teva. If you sold a shul, you have to buy an ark. I'm Rav Shimi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. I'm Rav Yochanan. Yonatan, Shmuel Bar Nachmani said that Rabbi Yonatan said, "Lo, Shanu, Ela Beit Knesset, Shal Kfarim." This is specifically a shul of a village, okay, that belongs to the people of that village. Val Beit Knesset, Shal Krachin. If it's a shul of a city, Kavan, Dama, who the Alma Atulai, because people come to it from elsewhere in the world, it almost belongs to the world. Lo Matsu, Mizavne. You're not able to sell it at all because really it's part of the Havela Derabim. It is like the Rabbim. It's like the public at large. Okay, it doesn't belong to the people of the city. It's like a world property. And that is that. Okay, however, we're going to qualify this a little bit. I'm Rav Ashi. He says, hi, Beiknishta, the Mata Machsia. The shul of Mata Machasya, he says, Afal Gav, Da Alma Atulei, it says, even though other people in the world come to there, Kevan, Da Date Didi Kaati, it was established because of me. And it says, you know, I started it, and everything I do there is under my auspices, etc. Ibai Mazavnela. If I want to, I could sell it. Okay, so in other words, if it's owned by someone in particular, and then there is no sanctity, even though a lot of people might use it, but it is not theirs. And similarly, what we have is the following. Before we get there, we're going to say Meitvei. We challenge this from a Braita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ramasa Beit Knesset, Shal Tusim. Rabbi Yehuda says there was an incident that happened with the shul of these bronze workers, Shayab Yerushalayim, that was in Jerusalem. Shemachrua, Rebbe Eliezer, they sold it to Rebbe Eliezer. It says Vasabo Kotzochav, and he did whatever he wanted to there. So they sold the whole shul to Rebbe Eliezer, and he did with it whatever he wanted. Okay, so it's here. You can sell a shul. Ha Hatam the Krachin Hava, and surely you know there's one of cities in Yerushalayim, obviously a city, and how could they sell it at all? So the Gemara answers Ahi Beik Nishta Zuta Hava Inu Avdua. No, it was one little small shul, and it was these people that. They were the owners of it. They established it for their kind of their bronze workers, and they all used to get together, and that was their own like little shul for their almost like a guild, as it were. And they built it, and they ran it, etc. And therefore, it's something that was their own. Okay, so when it's the same principle. If it's yours, you are allowed to sell it. Meitvei, again, we challenge it. Beveit eret achuzat kem. This is talking about tzaraat. On a house, it says if the tzaraat is in a house that is in the land of your possession, achuzatchem metame benegaim. It means your possession is only when it's your possession, your own possession, that it can become tame with this nega of tarat, the plague of tarat. So this go, but Jerusalem is not subject to the tuma, the impurity of leprosy. Or tzaraat, not really leprosy. Anyway, and surely, you know, because Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, belongs to the whole of the Jewish people, and therefore is not privately owned. So then, so truly it belongs. You know, how could they sell it? It's not theirs if it's in Jerusalem. Amar Rav Yehuda, ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash bevad. He says, no. When do we say Jerusalem wasn't split amongst the tribes? That is only the temple itself, but not with the rest of the city of Jerusalem. Okay, it says now habata knasu vatamidrashot metamim. You know. the fact is that it would seem from here that shuls and study places, study halls, can become tame with tzarat. Okay, Amai, is that really true? It says, Vahai, the krachin havi, surely they are owned by the whole city. They are communal property. A shul is a property of everyone in the city. So it's not like a privately owned place. So that's what you say. Ema, the answer is, we have to say, Amrav Yehuda, Ani lo shamati ele makom mukudash bevad. So it's not makom, mikdash. He changes what he had said. He says, actually, I'm talking it only with something that is holy. And that includes the Beit HaMikdash and a shul and a study hall as well. Okay, so all of those things, none of them can become tamei because of the fact that they are communal property. Okay, so therefore, what is the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda argue about? Tanakama Sava, the Tanakama holds, Lo Nechlecha Yerushalayim, the Shvatim, Jerusalem was not split amongst the tribes. In other words, it wasn't given to any particular tribe, and therefore it belongs to the whole nation. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, Nechlecha Yerushalayim l'shvatim, Jerusalem was split amongst the tribes, and it's therefore only holy items, holy places, that belongs to the whole nation. And look the Tanai, and the argument is following following Tanaitic dispute. It says the Tanya, as we learned in the writer, Maya Bechelko Shel Yehuda. One said, what part of the temple was in the tribe of Yehuda's territory? Harabite, it was the Harabite, the temple mount. It says Velishkat Azarot, and all the chambers and the courtyards, etc. Mraiva Bechelko Shel Benjamin. So really everything, if the temple as it goes from east to west, becomes more holy. So really on the eastern side is Yehuda's side, and then at a certain point, as it becomes more holy, it's going to belong to Benjamin, as we're going to say. My haya bechalkol she Benjamin. What was on the portion of Benjamin? Ulam v'heichal, as it gets that big hall, really the entrance hall and the heichal and the Beit Kodesh Kodashim, and including the heichal as well as the Kodesh Kodashim. All right, so all of those things, the actual what looks almost like a tefillin box. You have the stretched out part in the front, and then the narrow part in the inside, with the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, etc., and the Kodesh Kodashim, that is all the part in the territory of Binyamin. And where's the meeting point? Is really at mikdash, the mizbeach, sorry, the altar itself, rutsa, and a strip of land, hayata yotzat bechalkol she Yehuda, v'nichneset bechalkol she Binyamin, and a piece of land goes out of the portion of Yehuda and goes into the portion of Binyamin. It says, and v'hai mizbeach banu, and on that the mizbeach was built. V'yah Binyamin hatzadik, and Binyamin the tzaddik, the righteous one, mitzta'er alea kol hayom, and he was like worried about it all day. Levola, he would love to swallow it up because it is such a holy area. Shneimar chofef alav kol hayom, he hovers over it the whole day, covers it throughout the day. It says between his shoulders he shall dwell. Etc. Lefichak zachar Binyamin, therefore Binyamin, because he was desirous of such holiness, naase ushbezichin leshkina, he became privileged by hosting the Shekhinah, because the Holy of Holies was built in that area over there. Okay, and that is that. All right, so and that's the one opinion. V'ha Tana Sava, and the other Tana holds, though, Nor Nechlechu Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. No, it wasn't divided amongst any particular Shvatim. It was divided, it was given to all the Shvatim, and therefore, D'Tanya, Ein Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to rent out a house in Jerusalem. P'nei She'ein, She'einan Shelehen, because they're not yours to rent out. Yes, you may live there, etc., but really, they don't don't belong to the people that actually live in them. So you haven't got the ability to rent them out. Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadok Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadok commenting on that, it says, "Af lo mitot, even the beds inside the houses you can't rent it out. Lefichach orot kodeshim bale ushpizin not linotam bizra. Therefore, if you are staying in someone's house, they come, even though because they can't charge you rent for the thing, they can't, like an innkeeper, they can't take any money for it. So what do? They come and they grab the hides forcefully, etc., and they can't get payments. So Abaya says about that, Shmaimina, Orach Ara, and Abaya says it's therefore good behavior for a person, le misbak anish, gufa, mashka, bushbezike. He says it's good for a person to leave his flask and his leather flask that they use to keep wine and the hide of the animal for your inn. Yeah, no, as a kind of gift, even though there's no obligation for you to do it, it's just good behavior to do such a thing. All right, going back to what we'd seen before, the in terms of selling a shul and what you can use the money for, etc. Amarava, lo shanu. This whole thing was said, except ele shelo machru shivat shovei eir. It's where you don't do it with the seven representatives of the town, but Mamad Anshair in a general assembly of the people of the town. That's if you don't get full community support. However, Aval Machru Shivatavair, Bamamad Anshair, then if they had done it and they got support for this behavior, it says then you can sell it for whatever you want, says the Gemara. And it says, Afilu Lemishta Beishikra Shapidami, even if you use the proceeds to go and drink beer. That type of thing, even though it's totally non-holy behavior to do it, you could even buy beer with it, or it could also be as well. Another understanding, the Ran brings that even if you would change the shul now into an inn, a tavern, or something like that, that would be okay. All right, so it all depends. If you you can use it for anything as long as everyone's agreed to it. All right, so now, we have a following a couple of stories. Ravina, Havela, Ahu, Tila, Bay, Knishte, and Ravina had a piece of land, and there was like a mound, really, of an old shul, the ruins of an old shul. Atkamed Rav Ashi, and he comes in front of Rav Ashi, Amalei, and he asks him, Ma'al Lemizrei, can I sow it now? Is it, what about the land? Has it got holiness, or can I? I sow it over and plant things there. Amalei, zil zavine mishiva tveir, go along and buy it from the seven representatives of the town, b'mamad ansheir, in a general assembly of the people of the town, b'zara, and then you're fully entitled to go and plant it, and that would be perfectly fine. Okay, Rami Ba'aba, Havai Ka Banabe Knishta, he once built a shul. Havai Hu Knishta Atika, Havai Ba Lemistere Latue Livne Vikshure Mine. So what he wanted to do, there was an old shul, was out of commission, and he wanted to knock it down and take out the bricks and any beams that were useful from it, and he wanted to go and he wanted to go and bring it to the new shul. Okay, Yativ, and he sat there, and Vaka Mibale hired Rav Chista, and he thought what Rav Chista said. Dam Rav Chista, Rav Chista said, Lawless Tor Bay Knishta ad the Banale Bay Knishta Akriti. You shouldn't knock down an old shul until you have built a new shul. And he said, what does that mean? Hatam Mishum Peshua, Peshuta. Right, if in the case is the reason that this ruling was given is because you're worried about negligence. In this case, you're worried about the person will break down the old shul and then not build a new shul. And then, you know, that's not good. You're negligent, you won't build a new shul. Kiai Gavna Mai. In this case, where you're going to build the new shul specifically from the old shul, what is the situation? Atzkameda Rav Papa, and he came in front of Rav Papa, Vasule, and Rav Papa forbade him for doing so. He said, you know, you can't do it. Lekameda Rav Huna, and he also in front of Rav Huna, and also Vasule, Rav Huna also said that you can't do it. That is that. Amar Rava, and Rava mentions about that. Hi, Beiknishta, Chalufa, Evizabune, Shara. In terms of a shul, he says if you wanted to swap it for a different building, you exchange it, or if you would sell it for money, that would be fine. It would seem that the holiness, as we're going to see now, the holiness just gets swapped over into exchange into the new thing. It says, however, agura, mashkuna, asur. But if you just rent it out, or else you you give it as a mashkun, as some kind of pledge, that is not good. You're not allowed to do such a thing. My time, what is the reason for that? Begdushata kai. In the last two cases, the shul is still got its holiness in it. When you sell it or you exchange for something, the money then the holiness gets transferred to the actual money itself, and therefore that would be make sense, the money gets swapped over, and therefore there's no holiness left in the shul. It gets transferred over to the money, as opposed to if you would just rent it out or give it as some form of pledge, then it could be used for something non-holy, that and the holiness is still there, and therefore that would be problematic. Livne Nami, and so too with these bricks of a shul, Chalufa Vizibune Shari. If you wanted to swap them out or sell them, that would be fine. Uzifinu Asur, but renting them out is not allowed. And the Gemara just comments on that. Hani Mili Vati Kata. That's only when they are old bricks, that they were already part of the shul. Aval Bechadata Leitlan Ba. If they were new bricks and they were just designated for a shul, then there's no problem with that. Afilu Namanda Amar has mana milti, and even according to the opinion that says if you designate something, it does have an effect, even though it hasn't been used, your just designation is significant. It says Hani Mili Kagon to Oreg Beged Lamet. That only happens in a situation, for example, that you would to use a garment, and you would weave a garment for a specific dead person. Okay, aval katuve larig dami. But yeah, the bricks are compared to just a normal spun thread that you haven't done anything with it over there. We haven't started making anything for a corpse or anything like that. It says leka namandama. Then there's no one that it would actually say in this specific situation. You haven't designated it for anyone in particular, and therefore that wouldn't be significant. All right, matana. Now, what happens with a gift? Can you give a shul as a gift to be used for something non-holy? Pligibar Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina argue about that. V'chad Shari. One forbids it, and the other one allows it. Ma and Aser Bahai Tikva Kedusha. So he's the one that says not forbidden. He says, well, you know, where all of a sudden did the holiness disappear to? It just doesn't vanish. Mandashari, the one that says no, it's allowed. Ilav Dahavulei Hanamina. No, what is the reason that you go and you give it in the first place? It must have been that the person must have got a benefit from the person giving away the shul must have got a benefit from the person to whom the shul is donated. It says Lava Hayavulei. If you wouldn't have got it, you wouldn't have given anything to him. Hadahavu Lematana Kazvina. And therefore, selling it, giving it in this situation is essentially like selling it, and therefore the holiness is actually transferred as well along with it. All right, so now we move on to a big topic, practical topic. Tan Rabbanan, Tashmishe Mitzvah, anything that was used for a mitzvah. It says nizrakin, can be thrown out after use. Now there's a whole discussion exactly what we have over here. You know, if it's the strings of tzitzit etc. that get broken, you don't actually have to bury them, and you can throw them out. But you should actually still, because they've been used for mitzvah, have to show them some respect. Putting it in a plastic bag, not throwing it in the rubbish directly, etc. etc. The best thing to do is to use it for a different mitzvah. For example, like we use the leftover lulav, etc. to the adas and the arava to burn the matzah, etc. So we do those types of things. But there's no absolute requirement to do that. So you can throw them out. Tashmisha kedusha. However, if something has got the level of kedusha, of holiness, it's been used for a holy purpose, and that obviously applies to things like tefillin, for example, and Sefer Torah, mezuzah, all of those things obviously are tashmisha mitzvah. But not only that, the things that serve those things as well, as we're going to see in a second as well, that is that's a tashmisha. That says tashmisha kedusha nignazin. Then they have to be stored. Okay, and now the brata lists the things, the different categories. Elam tashmisha mitzvah. These things that are used for a mitzvah. Talking about the sukkah, the lulav. The sukkah itself, the lulav, and etrog, hadas, the arava, etc. That's all included. Shofar, shofar is also a tzitzit, are examples of all things that were used for the mitzvah. So no inherent sanctity, but just have to be treated with a little bit more respect, rather than just directly throwing it out. Avalim tashmisha kedusha. The following things have inherent kedusha. Delus kamei svarim. These a case of a scroll. And that is talking about the cover, really, of the Sefer Torah. Tefillin and mezuzot, obviously tefillin and mezuzot. Vatik shel Sefer Torah, and also a cover, a container for the Sefer Torah. Vnaktik shel tefillin rutzot, and a cover, even your tefillin cover. And bag and the straps, they are all considered something that actually has got inherent kedusha, because of the fact that they've been serving things that have got holiness, direct holiness as well. All right, so now Rava, and now we just get some more examples. And Rava says, Maresh Hava Mina, at the beginning I used to say, Hava Kusaya, the Tashmish Tashmisha, Hu Vashare. I used to say that the Bema in the middle of the shul that you read the Torah on is only a Tashmish of a Tashmish. It serves something, and really it doesn't, usually you put a cloth over the actual bima itself, and it doesn't go directly on the actual, you put the Sefer Torah down on the cloth and then you open the Sefer Torah, so really the cloth would be serving the Sefer Torah directly, and the bima itself would be serving as the base for the actual cloth. So it's a tashmish of a tashmish, something that is subsidiary to something that is subsidiary, so it's a double thing. Vashari, and therefore would be allowed. Gavan, tachazina, but then I saw the mortvi ilave Sefer Torah. There are times where they put the Sefer Torah directly down on the actual wooden bima itself. Therefore, amina, what did I say? Tashmish kedushu ba'asur. I said that now it's been used directly for something that has got inherent holiness, therefore it itself becomes a subordinate to that, and you can't just throw it away. Similarly, Rava says, Meresh Hava Mina, at the beginning I used to say, Ha Prisa de Tashmish de Tashmishu. Initially I would say the curtain which decorates the front of the Aron Kodesh, that's only a Tashmish of a Tashmish. It comes to make the ark beautiful, but it wasn't actually ever used for the actual Sefer Torah itself. It says, Kavan de Chazina de Aifi Lei Manche Sifrei Lave. But then sometimes they used to take the curtain off and fold it over, and used to put the Sefer Torah on. Maybe that was to put on the bima. What I used to say, Tashmish Kedusha Hu Dasir. I said that therefore even the ark cover is Tashmish of Kedusha. It all depends on what we have today. We wouldn't do such a thing, so maybe it's just hanging on the ark itself, which makes it a tashmish to tashmish. Similarly, Amarava says hi, Tevuta de Irpat. This ark, that broken ark, Ma'avda Teva Zutrai Shari. If you would make it a smaller ark from it, the bigger ark has fallen into disuse and disrepair, and therefore, if you wanted to take the pieces from it and make a smaller ark, shari, that would be permitted. However, kushaya asir, but making a shtenda, that wouldn't be allowed. That's a lower level of thing. You don't read the Sefer Torah on the Vama Rava, and Rava says another thing. Hi, prisa devala, and with an old curtain that in front of the ark that now has worn out. It says ma'avda prisa lesifrei shari. You couldn't make it into something that to wrap the Sefer Torah with lechumashin asur. But to do it just for neviim etc. That is chumash. Chumashim actually would be one of the five books of the Torah, but on its own, in a scroll, that is a lowering of its kedusha, and that you're not allowed to do. Okay, v'amar Rava, and Rava says as well another statement: Hani zava zivile de chamusha v'katare de sifre. These cases for these chumashim that you've got, and a sack for a sefer Torah, if that's how they would handle it, putting these sacks down and carrying the Sefer Torah in Tashmisha Kedusha Ninu Vnignazin. They have both got inherent holiness because they serve actual items of Kedusha. Therefore, you would have to bury them once they became worn out. Chita, surely that is obvious. Why is it different from what we've been saying the whole time? Now, Maida Tema, what might you have thought? Honey, love, kavod avdinan. No, they're not made really for the honor of the actual scrolls. Nature be'alma avide, just for actual protection. So if it's got a functional thing over here, it's not inherent. You might think that it's not inherently holy. It's just functional. Therefore, kamash milan, no, because of the fact that it is touching an item of holiness. And it also indirectly provides honor for it, and therefore is something of holiness as well. All right, an example where this is put into place. Ahu Bei Knishta, the Yudai Romai. There was a synagogue, a shul of the Roman Jews. Okay, Dahavu Lepetiach Lahu Idrona, and it opened up into a room. It says Dahave Machid Bei Mate, and there was a corpse lying in the room. Okay, and it's what seemed to happen because it was under a common roof, and there was a space between the doors. The tumor of the mate went out the room and spread all over the whole shul. And there were kohanim in the outer area that wanted to come into the shul and to daven there, but obviously they couldn't come in if the whole thing is defined as an oil of a mate, if everything is under the same roof as a mate. So Amrele la Rava. So they came and asked Rava what to do. Amalu, so Rava responded, Dlu at Tevuta, go and lift the ark of Otve. Udvu Davale Kli Eitz Ashul Nachat Ukli Eitz Ashul Nachat Einu Makabel Tuma. For God's sake, Bifna Tuma. He says, lift up the ark and put it down, but in the opening between the two rooms. Okay, and because it's the ark itself is a wooden utensil that is generally made there for resting purposes. Okay, and we saw this, for example, in Shabbat, We had a whole discussion about these types of things as well. And it's only when it can be, when something is used, only when it's full, as well as it's empty, as if it's being moved around like a sack, then it's a very, if it's, then only then it transmits tumor. But if it's a very large utensil, that can only be done when it is, it's meant to be staying in one place, not being meant to be moved from there, and especially when it's got, it's only when it's empty, it is moved, then it's, that's not really a utensil, okay? And if it's designated for resting purposes, a wooden vessel designated for resting purposes, blocks, it won't become tuma itself, it's impervious to tuma, and it also blocks from tuma as well. It serves as a barrier to stop it spreading. The Gemara asks about that, though. Amri le Rabbanan, le Rava. So the Rabbi said to Rava, Vazimnin the metaltele have, sometimes it is moved while kimanach sefer Torah ilave, when the sefer Torah is inside it, and therefore it's havelai metaltele malei verekam. It's like something, the utensil that is used full and empty, and therefore doesn't get this dispensation. And it says yachi lo afshar. He says, oh well, if that is the case, then we can't do anything about that. All right, maybe they would have to find another way to block up the door. Okay, continuing. Ma amamar zutra mitpachot svarim shabalu osinota tachrichin amait mitzvah. It says something that was used to wrap Sefer Torah and they became worn out. It says you can turn those into shrouds for a mate mitzvah, someone who hasn't got any relatives but needs to be buried. Okay, and that is a good thing to do. And Zuhi Genizatan, you have to put these Sefer Torah. We have to bury them anyway, so might as well use them to cover the body. Once you use them for one mitzvah of the Sefer Torah, we'll then put them in the use them for another mitzvah, for this mate mitzvah's shroud. Rava, and Rava comments on that. Sefer Torah, Shabala, Gozninoto, Eitze Talmichachem. A worn out Sefer Torah should be buried next to a Talmid Chacham. And it says, Afidu Shona Halachot, even if you just, who's defined as a Talmid Chacham, even if you just learn Halachot. and you're not expert as the different brightas, etc. You just know the bottom line Halacha. Then Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov V'kli Cheris, and when you bury it, you first put it inside an earthenware vessel. Shnuah Natzatim B'li Cheris Laman Yamdu Yamim Rabim. And it says when you bury it, you first put it inside this earthenware vessel, because it says you should put in earthenware vessel for many days. Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Okay, that is a good place to stop. We will pick up tomorrow with the next shiur, also about the Hilchot Beit Knesset, etc. In the meantime, everyone should have a great day.